This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:07 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And our first story this hour is Malaysia Kini. So they were found liable for contempt of court over readers' comments and fined $500,000 in a sentence handed down today by the federal court. This has, of course, opened up concerns surrounding freedom of expression and freedom of media.
Yeah, so this is in relation to readers' comments, actually, which people had written on a news story on News Portal. However, what they did find is that the editor-in-chief, Stephen Gunn himself, was not found guilty of the same charge. What is notable, I think, about this case also that a lot of commentators have been pointing to is the fact that this 500,000 ringgit sum is higher than the requested amount by the Attorney General's chambers. They had proposed a 200,000 ringgit fine, and Malaysia Kini's lawyers had suggested 20 to 30,000. Of course, as you said, that number has finally settled on 500,000.
Yeah, and the fine was imposed by a 7-member Apex Court bench, and the Court of Appeal president essentially said the bench took into account the written and oral apology that had been extended and the fact that the respondents had cooperated with the police and the courts. It's also worth noting that this is the first time that the News Portal has been cited for contempt of court in its 21-year history, although it is not its first legal skirmish, I think, as many of us will be aware. So this really opens up, I think, questions like you rightly point out, right? That amount, it is double, in fact, slightly more than double what was requested by the AG. And it feels, or at least it looks, like an incredibly punitive amount.
And it also opens up questions of how much liability you want to hold media organizations to for readers' comments, which is a pretty big facet of media in the internet age. And how do you draw that line between allowing a healthy, robust conversation, but then also, I suppose, in some ways, holding them so accountable that media portals might end up not wanting to have that space in the first place?
Especially media portals that live online,
Malaysia
entirely, entirely online, not one that has a presence in different facets, different arenas. So it is also important to say that at around 4:30 this afternoon, Malaysia Kini tweeted that they had successfully raised, because they had opened it up to crowdfunding, the 500,000 in donations to pay off the fine. So the response from the Malaysian public was immediate and it sounds like a huge surge. However, we want to hear directly from the folks involved. Let us know what you think, though, about this decision and about what it says for freedom of expression in our country. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to discuss this is Premesh Chandran, CEO of Malaysia Kini. Prem, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, BFM. Thanks for having me.
So, I guess, how did you feel when you heard the court's decision, and more specifically, the amount, that 500,000 that was set as the fine?
We were really stunned, both Stephen and I. Our lawyers, said that a fine of 20,000 to 30,000 may be reasonable, and the deputy public prosecutors only asked for 200,000. So we were expecting somewhere within that range, and it was totally unexpected to have a fine of 500,000, way beyond for a comment by our readers, not even something that we ourselves have published. So it was a stunning decision.
But Prem, since then, one ray of light, I hope, is that the fund that you set up that was meant to help pay that fine actually raised that 500,000 within 4 hours. How do you feel about the way the public has reacted to this and shown their support?
It's been amazing response from our readers, from our supporters, from the public. It's really amazing. In just 4 hours, 500,000 was raised. That's also very stunning. We do not know what to say except to extend our big thank you to all our readers and supporters. But it also shows that despite the difficultness of our country today in the pandemic, and I'm sure everybody is tight, the desire for change, for a more just and fair government, a fair system, right? I think people's voices are being squeezed out and they're so frustrated. And in a way, maybe they see Malaysia Kini as giving a venue for their voices to be heard. We've had two standards for ministers and non-ministers when it comes to quarantine. We've had you know, people in power not getting fined and getting away with not absorbing the SOPs, and other types of the double standards. And I think people are tired of it, and they're looking to the media to, you know, to have a voice to speak up, and, you know, for us to create a much more just and fairer country for all of us to live in.
You spoke earlier about how both yourself and Stephen felt, but how is the team at Malaysia Kini feeling? I mean, I imagine it's a roller coaster.
Yeah, that's quite right. I think, you know, we were very, very disappointed and shocked, the whole team, to hear the verdict. Of course, we're happy that, you know, Stephen was not found guilty, and, you know, because the worst case scenario was, in fact, like a jail sentence for Stephen. So that was good to hear. And we were not, you know, even though we knew that you were found guilty, we're not expecting such a big fine. But, you know, again, to see all our readers come out, you know, from all walks of life and international support, you know, it's been really heartening. It shows, I mean, it gives us courage that, look, we have to stand our ground, and we have to do our best to voice the views of the public and make sure the voice gets across so that the government actually becomes more responsive to the people.
So what comes next for you guys? What's the next step?
Well, the immediate step, of course, we have to, you know, pay the fine and settle the case. But we're also speaking to our lawyers. As you know, it was a 6-1 decision. So there is a minority judgment which was written that we are also eagerly consuming, and it's available publicly. And we're speaking to our lawyers about the consequences of this decision. As you know, this does not affect Malaysia Kini alone. It affects other media companies, but it also affects all types of forums which have, you know, third-party commenting going on, whether it's your WhatsApp, your Twitter, your Facebook, you know. It has very far-reaching consequences because it now implies that the publisher, first of all, ought to know or has knowledge and even has intent when a third-party publishes a comment on the platform. So it's really pushing the buck from the person making the comments to the publisher or the host of that information, which has huge repercussions. We would like to actually look at the decision more closely and look at avenues for to challenge it, or even appeal to the parliamentarians. The legal system says, you know, this cannot stand. We need a change of law so that this will not happen to another media organization or another party, you know, such as has happened to Malaysia Kini.
And how, you know, does this, if at all, change Malaysia Kini's approach to journalism and to publishing the content that you do? And how does this inform your plans in the short term?
For us, you know, in terms of our journalism, that will not change. We will always do news and news that matter. We want to do professional, fair, balanced news, courageous news that holds the government and powers to be accountable. That's in our DNA. You know, we've stood our ground for 21 years and we will continue. I think with the comment section, it's going to be really tricky. The next time, you know, this continues, I'm sure the next time you'll probably see a jail sentence. So we really have to look at the comments section in more detail and understand the ruling and understand what is the avenue for people to voice their views in a legal, legitimate fashion. You know, I like to say that, you know, it is a bit loud and it's a bit chaotic going on in readers' comments. But, you know, when it's like going to a football stadium and you have crowds cheering and things like that, there are obviously some things that just happen on the spot. People say certain things. But do you really want to silence all voices? Do you really want to clamp down? Do you want to allow no opportunity for people to be heard? I don't think that's the solution. I think that we should have, you know, a good space for people to voice out without, you know, something which is offensive, you know, landing the publisher in trouble. So I think we need to look at the decision and figure out a way how are we going to manage the comment section so that we allow our readers that voice.
Prem, in closing, how else can people support Malaysia Kini?
I think the support has been overwhelming. You know, we always ask people to subscribe or get a friend to subscribe. That's our bread and butter. You know, we really appreciate it. But I think at the end of the day, it's about this idea of people speaking up and speaking out, right? Encourage people to hold others accountable, to speak up and say, this is not on. You know, we did it in the May 2018 election. We had a change of government. You know, there's been a lot of disillusionment, you know. So I think if they can support not just Malaysia Kini, but the idea of democracy, the idea of justice, and support the people out there, whether they're NGOs or activists or anybody who's working to change. You know, Malaysia Kini doesn't exist alone. We need an environment that everybody is championing democracy, you know, and looking out for people who are voiceless, looking out for people who can't speak up for themselves. So I think if they can associate with that mission, we will be supporting Malaysia Kini, and we really appreciate that from the bottom of our hearts.
Prem, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Premish Chandran, CEO of Malaysia Kini, talking to us about Malaysia Kini, or more specifically, the fact that they were found liable for contempt of court over readers' comments and fined 500,000, although they have raised that in donations since then. But this, nevertheless, I think as a decision, impacts the way we think about freedom of expression, media freedom in the country. After this, we are going to be speaking with Washla Naidu, Executive Director at the Centre for Independent Journalism. Let us know what you think. That number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:19 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We've been talking today about Malaysia Kini in a federal court decision being found liable for contempt of court over comments that were left by readers. Their editor-in-chief, Stephen Gunn, was not found guilty, thankfully, but they were nevertheless charged for, or fined 500,000 ringgit. And that is an amount that is more than double what was being asked for. And so I think that's really opened up questions about A, the amount itself, but also the decision overall.
Yeah, and because that points to a larger question of who is actually responsible when it comes to readers' comments on these platforms, right? And it does put what many say an unfair burden onto the news organizations to be accountable, and in, of course, on the other hand, also curtailing freedom of speech when it comes to the comments themselves.
Yes. So we heard earlier from Premish Chandran, who's the CEO of Malaysia Kini, talking to us about how the teams received this and what it's been like. And now we're crossing over to Washla Naidu, Executive Director at the Centre for Independent Journalism. Washla, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, good evening.
So what are your immediate thoughts and reactions on the decision from the federal court today?
So I have to say, of course, given what's been happening over the last year, it's not very surprising. But, you know, ultimately, this is a real blow to our media freedom and our freedom of expression. Because what we are seeing now is the spaces for dissenting voices and opinions continuing to shrink. And it's a very worrying case, and the precedent that's been set here has tremendous impact on us as you know, Malaysians as we move forward, because it generally revolved around third-party comments, yeah, by readers of an online portal. And, you know, it was also being found, guilty of contempt of court under the Section 114A of Evidence Act 20, and this act in itself is it's slightly problematic, even at the point where it was proposed, especially the amendments to Section 114.
So you mentioned that it sets a precedent, that this is a novel case. What kind of precedent is this?
So there are two sets of how we're looking at it. One is to look at how they've used Section 114A of the Evidence Act, yeah? And this act basically places the presumption of guilt rather than the innocence of internet users, you know, when publishing contents online. So that means it makes individuals and those who administer, operate, or provide spaces for online forums, you know, hosting services, liable for content published through their services, yeah? So if we look at it in terms of the implication, this presumption of guilt actually goes against fundamental principles, yeah, of justice, which is innocent until proven guilty. And it also places disproportionate burdens on, you know, any users who may not, who now will have to invest on resources to defend themselves. So the implication here again is it's how we perceive the liabilities of online portals, yeah? Because, you know, Malaysia Kini and other online portals will be held liable, one, for third-party comments, yeah? And thus, they will be required to put in place additional, safeguards even prior to publishing comments from third-party or third-party comments from their readers, right? Otherwise, they will be held liable. Now, this is extremely resource-intensive. If you're expected to moderate, you know, thousands of comments, say, sheer volume of comments daily. And it will also form a you know, that would be a form of censorship, yeah? And this ultimately curtails the reader's freedom of expression. And freedom of expression, especially at this time, is so crucial and fundamental because this is how, you know, the readers or even the public, you know, we form our own opinions. We make, you know, our opinions known through the comment section, yeah? And it's so important to protect this constitutional right to express ourselves because otherwise, how do we facilitate public participation and promote a healthy democracy? Yeah, so this, you know, really adds burden to the media, and it impacts our right to express our opinions and in any form of dissent, really.
So the other element here is the amount that was part of the fine, the 500,000 ringgit, and it's more than double the amount that was requested initially by the Attorney General's Chambers. What do you make of that?
I'm actually really tempted to express myself very openly here, but I do fear that I might be cited for contempt, right? But generally, we were in court today because CIJ had a watching brief, and the federal prosecutors had asked for a fine of 200,000, yeah? And the court to come back after recess to say 500,000 was really shocking. Yeah, and I think as most readers already know, that there's larger implications here on the amount as well. Because the court was also very clear that they are imposing this level of penalty as a form of sending out a message that online portals have responsibilities, yeah, in moderating their third-party comments, but also the public has a responsibility in ensuring that, you know, our comments are not offensive or contemptuous, yeah. But, you know, it's really a disbelievable amount, you know, for half a million for a third-party comment, and, you know, and for a portal like Malaysia Kini to even be held liable for third-party comment is already, you know, something that is of a concern. So what more now, you know, being, you know, slapped with this level of penalty?
Now, press freedom advocates have been saying that lawsuits like these are examples of less direct ways in which media freedom can be curtailed. Could you give some examples of these, and how effective is it when they use these kinds of methods?
Okay. So let's look at our track record over the course of the last year. Yeah, 2020 has been another eye opener for us, following the change in government, the political turmoil we experienced. But what we saw was the point where the very repressive laws which remain on our books, which we've continued to challenge, have been used to really crack down on media. Yeah, we've seen a number of cases where correspondents from South China Morning Post, correspondents from Channel News Asia, Al Jazeera, and other individual media personnel have been targeted. They've either been called in for questioning, or they've been charged for specific offences on these laws. And the laws which are often used are Section 233 of the Communications and Multimedia Act. Of course, Sedition Act's also been cited. Different provisions within penal codes been cited. And the media, of course, also has the Printing Presses and Publications Act hanging over their head, right? So all these creates this climate of fear, because on one hand, we expect the media to take on their role as the fourth estate in ensuring that, you know, there is enough balanced news of public interest to promote democracy, right? With that expectation, we expect media to act independently with timely information and reliable information that often would challenge the status quo. But with the crackdown that we're seeing now, the message that is being sent is either media, you self-censor yourself, or you be very careful about what you are reporting, or in certain cases, you know, it's just a direct crackdown the moment you are seen as providing news or publishing news which is critiquing the government and the government action. Yeah, this has a chilling impact on us, on the society. Because if media is being targeted, and we're also seeing other people, human rights defenders, being targeted by use of some of these similar laws. But it is it's the landscape that we now have to live in, where the moment we attempt to disagree, dissent, voice our opinion, it's almost immediate crackdown. Yeah, and we cannot, as a society, live with this fear hanging over us all the time. Yeah.
Washla, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That was Washla Naidu, Executive Director at the Centre for Independent Journalism, talking about a decision that was made by the Federal Court this morning that basically fined Malaysia Kini 500,000 ringgit, found them liable for contempt of court over readers' comments. Let us know what you think. We now do have to head to the 6:30 news.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.